Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, and I hope you'll be able to stick with us and even join in the conversation if you're able to. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673, with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. That's our toll-free number, 888-677-9673. We'd love to hear from you tonight. And let's go ahead and start our program this evening with the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you so much again for the opportunity on the air. Bless the program tonight. Pray you guide our conversation. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ. And again, pray that we could be an encouragement, a blessing to those that are listening tonight. And just again, we just thank you for the opportunity. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, welcome to the program tonight. And, you know, it's just been such a busy news week in a variety of fronts, and unfortunately it's not always on a good front. Certainly more information continues to come out on the jihadi terrorist attack in Chattanooga there, where they killed or opened fire on the recruiting station. Certainly our prayers go out for the families of the Marines and now the Naval the Navy guy that passed away just recently. But certainly more and more is coming out, and it seems pretty evident that Abdelizi, the shooter, was certainly doing it in order to further the cause of Islam, the cause of jihad. And don't necessarily need to talk about that a whole lot tonight, but if you want to talk about that, certainly we will. And you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. But something else I want to talk about a little bit this evening as well. And again, wish this was a pleasant subject here, but no doubt most of our listeners by now have heard of the undercover video of the Planned Parenthood executive, Dr. Deborah Nukatola. She's the Senior Director of Medical Services for Planned Parenthood Federation of America. Basically, she oversees the abortion practices of all the Planned Parenthood affiliates across the country. And she performs abortions herself up through, I believe she indicated that she herself performs abortions up through 24 weeks. And she was on video last summer, about a year ago, July 25th, 2014, I believe was the time of the video, and there were some undercover investigators who were posing as a fetal tissue procurement company, and they met with her, and in some senses, it's almost a case of which is more reprehensible, which is more off-putting, which is more awful, would probably be even a better word. The fact of the thing she was discussing, or the fact that she's discussing it between sipping her wine and eating her salad, as if it's no big deal. Now, I know some people can certainly handle things a little bit more in terms of their conversation. And I recall when I was in college, you know, we would talk about dissecting chickens in ornithology lab over dinner while eating fried chicken. That was an experience, smelling the formaldehyde on your fingers from having just dissected a chicken during lab just before lunch, and then eating fried chicken. That some people didn't find that too appetizing. But at any rate, you can become used to that sort of thing. But in this case, I think what beyond becoming used to it, I think it was a certain level of callousness that Dr. Nukatola displayed there. you know, stabbing her fork in her salad and swishing her wine glass around while discussing the harvesting of human body parts. And now, the thing of it is, human body parts, the buying or selling of human body parts is a federal felony. And I did some looking into this last week. 42 U.S. Code 274E makes it a federal felony to buy or sell human body parts. The commercial trafficking of body parts, specifically from an aborted baby, is punishable under federal law by up to 10 years in prison and or a fine of up to $500,000. And that's in 42 U.S. Code 289G-2. So it's already established law. And in the course of this conversation with these people portraying themselves as a fetal tissue procurement company, they talked about prices, what you could get for an aborted baby's heart or their lungs or muscle tissue from the limbs or perhaps the liver or maybe a kidney or two, things like that. And as if it was nothing. Thing that was rather interesting, they had a flash on the video of a particular group, I think it was called STEM something or other, and they had a shopping list of parts that you could pick. And I went online, and the site said that due to being mentioned in a recent video, their site was experiencing unusual level of traffic, and this particular part was currently unavailable. Well, you know, mostly anything on the internet is never gone forever. Now, there's a great site called the Internet Time Machine, and you don't have to necessarily go there either. Other places, Google vacuums up everything that you do online. You know, people worry about the National Security Agency. I think the National Security Agency could learn lessons from Google. They suck up everything. And Google still had the page that had their shopping list, and you could hit the menu and drop down, and you'd say, well, I would like some lungs from an aborted infant that was more than 4 weeks developed but not more than 24 weeks developed, or variations on that. It's so callous. And did I mention that it's against federal law? The buying and selling of human body parts and the commercial traffic of body parts from an aborted baby. And, you know, sad thing is, there are people today who are saying, well, what's the big deal? What's the big deal about this? And I'm waiting for the news to come out that the president has called a press conference to say that this travesty has to be investigated and stopped. But instead, the most recent thing that I've been able to see is that his spokesman came out and said that Planned Parenthood's selling aborted baby parts, his statement was that they're ethical. And it's not what federal law says. And that's Obama spokesman Josh Earnest defending Planned Parenthood. Thankfully, there are people on Capitol Hill, as well as state's attorney generals across the country, who are either calling for or launching investigations into Planned Parenthood. And during the course of the video, the people posing as a fetal tissue procurement company, they asked if it would be possible, rather than deal with all the affiliates, that they could deal with Planned Parenthood directly. And Planned Parenthood could do on a national level the procurement for them. And Dr. Nucatella basically indicated, well, that would be more streamlined and more efficient. But she said their legal department said that they should not do that because, well, here's the crux of it. The crux of it is it allows them plausible deniability. They can say, well, that was that crazy affiliate out in Wichita, Kansas. That was group that's we've disavowed association with in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. That's not us. Well, I'm sorry, it is them. She gave a whole shopping list. She even went into detail, which I will not go into, on how to abort the baby in such a fashion that you could avoid damaging the desirable body parts. and how they would look at the cases for the abortions that they were going to perform that day and decide which ones would be best suited for harvesting various body parts. And they would come up with a game plan and then sell these things. And, well, did I mention that it's against federal law? One of the techniques that they would use to harvest usable parts is to get the baby turned around in the womb so it would be a breech birth. It would come out feet first. And so that before the baby is fully delivered, essentially they would perform a partial birth abortion. And, of course, under 18 U.S. Code 1531, partial birth abortion is a federal felony punishable by up to 2 years in prison and a fine and or a fine of up to $250,000. And, you know, I would not be at all surprised to find that you can prove that some of the babies were actually born alive and then the body parts harvested then. And I remember a few years back, probably about 10 years or so ago, there was an uproar where people were just up in arms over the fact that the Chinese were harvesting organs from Chinese prisoners. And what's the difference here? Really, what is the difference? You're harvesting body parts from human beings. It's just that some were in prison and some were in the mother's womb. And then, of course, you had that Gosnell out in, Philadelphia, that was in the news last year. Most of the major media tried to ignore it, but he was it was just gruesome what he was doing, allowing babies to be born alive and then die, just die in a bucket, die in a sink, die on the floor. And he was prosecuted for that, but most of the media tried to cover that up. Well, a fetus extracted intact, and I'd say a baby extracted intact, but the law says uses the term a fetus extracted intact and alive during an abortion is a born alive infant under federal law, and any further action taken to kill him or her is homicide. That's number one U.S. Code 8. And yet, here's what Dr. Nucatella says about these federal laws. Now, if you're thinking of this, and if you're like me, you're hearing these federal codes saying, well, that's a clear felony. Violated, let's see, I read off 1, 2, 3, 4 federal laws here, federal statutes that make the things that Planned Parenthood is doing, Dr. Nucatella is doing, illegal under federal law. And yet, this doctor, and really, she's a travesty as a doctor. She's an embarrassment to the profession. She should not have that title. But she says federal laws are open to interpretation. And I actually slowed this down or replayed this a couple times so I could write it down word for word so I get the exact quote correct. This is how she rationalizes it and how she explained how federal laws are open to interpretation. She said, quote, "So if I say on day one, I do not intend to do this, what ultimately happens doesn't matter." Now, here's what she's saying. That's her direct quote. She's saying here that if she at the outset says, well, I'm not intending for this infant to be partially born before I finish the abortion, i.e., partial birth abortion, but if that's what ultimately happens, well, it doesn't matter. And yet, you know, Josh Earnest, the president's spokesman, can't find anything wrong with it. He says, oh, I haven't spoken to the president about the video. He says he said, I did read the news reports, and Planned Parenthood said they follow the highest ethical guidelines. Right. Well, you would think that Planned Parenthood would deny and distance themselves from this. Well, guess what they're doing? Cecile Richards, the president and CEO of Planned Parenthood, is saying, oh, no, this does not represent Planned Parenthood, and her attitude was terrible and all that. In the same video, She was asked by the undercover investigators who were posing as a fetal tissue procurement company what she thought of Dr. Deborah Nucatola, and she said that Dr. Nucatola is great, and she said that she's amazing, and that's what she said in the video. And then a year later, she's saying, she doesn't represent us. No, I'm sorry, she is, Dr. Nucatola is the Senior Director of Medical Services for Planned Parenthood Federation of America. If she hasn't already, they're probably going to throw her under the bus, and she's probably going to be bounced out. She'll be the sacrificial lamb, that's what will happen. And, let me give you a passage here that I was thinking about. And people say, this is just an unborn fetal tissue. This is not, this is nothing to get all excited about. There's an interesting passage in Exodus chapter 21. And I know I've been talking here. Let me give the phone numbers out here again while I turn over here to Exodus chapter 21. You can give us a call here at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673 if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. And here in Exodus chapter 21, there's a passage where it's discussing if two men are fighting and they hurt a woman who is pregnant. And it says in verse 22, if men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her and yet no mischief follow, he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband will lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judge is determined. Now, mischief there that he's talking about, the baby is born, the fruit, that's talking about the unborn child. She's with child. And if you notice, the Bible term there is child, product of conception or fetal tissue. If two men strive and hurt a woman with child so that her fruit depart from her, she goes into premature labor. She gives birth prematurely. And the baby is born, it says, and yet no mischief follow, which would mean that the baby survives. It says he shall be surely punished according as the woman's husband shall lay upon him, and he shall pay as the judges determine. So he'll be punished for causing this to happen. And if the baby's born alive, he'll have some kind of punishment that the husband and the judges will come to. But here it says in verse 23, and if any mischief follow, notice this, this is if the baby dies, if any mischief follow, thou shalt give life for life. You catch that? Life for life. That means if the mischief that follows would mean she goes into premature labor and the baby dies as a result of this woman being struck by these men that were fighting. You know, kind of sounds like an abortion in a sense, doesn't it? It's an unborn child. Something happens that causes the unborn child to die. And it says, give life for life, eye for eye, tooth for tooth, hand for hand, foot for foot, burning for burning, wound for wound, stripe for stripe. And it's because this child has been killed. It's been it's had its life ended. Now, medically speaking, and I don't know why this is such a difficult concept. In Psalm 139, the Bible says in verse 13, "For thou hast possessed my reins; thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them." Now, this is the unborn child before it begins to grow and form legs and arms and all of that. Now, this is the unborn child that at the moment of conception, you have half the DNA from the father, half the DNA from the mother comes together, forms a unique combination. The DNA of the fertilized egg is distinctly human, and it's distinct from the mother, it's distinct from the father, It is a new life. Now, that's a medical fact. That's a biological fact. That's a scientific fact. I don't know why people struggle with that so much on the political end of things. That is a medical, biological, scientific fact. It's also a biblical fact that there is a new life. And to end that life, for instance, as I read there in Exodus chapter 21, you're murdering that unborn child. And that is something the Bible says should give life for life. Hey, the United States Code only has some prison time and some fines. That's a little more lenient than what God's law called for. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can call us 888-677-9673. And we have Ken calling in this evening. And Ken, welcome to the program tonight.
Yeah, how you doing, Pastor Al? It's Ken again.
Hey, Ken, haven't heard from you for a while. How you doing?
Well, I just wondered how. Well, I called a few times, but you know, you were busy. I know. I remember being on the radio. I followed you, didn't I? On that for quite a few years.
That's
there.
Been a long time ago.
Yeah, here's a question.
Yes, sir.
You turn on 1 Peter 5.
All right,
yeah,
let me get
turned
over there.
Yeah, I'm doing a study of the Dr. Sorensen, who we use at the college over at Cleveland Baptist, you know, for the men's, before they go into the ministry. Quite
all
a few.
Right, 1 Peter chapter 5,
right.
You said?
Chapter 5, and that would be verse 13.
Okay.
Now, you and I discussed it. We finally straightened it out about John Mark being Mark the Gospel. That was several years ago that came up. But in this case, Dr. Sorensen said we won't know about that until we get to heaven, whether he was really, you know, because he could have been it's Marcus in that verse.
Right. Let me read the verse real quick for our listeners. Mm-hmm. The church that is at Babylon, elected together with you, saluteth you, and so doth Marcus my son. And this is Peter, of course, writing here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 13. And you're talking about the identity, right, of who Marcus is.
Yeah, because there was a misunderstanding on our part there for a while on whether John Mark or Mark was the same one, Marcus. You know, that was the Greek name, right? Marcus, is that what?
Marcus would be Mark, right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Actually, it's kind of interesting because in Acts chapter 12, it says, and when he had considered the thing, this is when Peter, remember, was in prison.
Right.
And Herod was going to execute him the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And it says, and when he had considered the thing, that's Peter, he came to the house of Mary, or the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, when they were gathered together praying. And in this case, you see Peter and this gentleman named Mark linked together again, don't we?
Yeah.
And now here, this is Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark. So this would be John Mark here in Acts chapter 12. And I think a lot of people believe that that's the same person that Peter's referring to here in 1 Peter chapter 5.
I think it may be. Now, the Pilgrim's Bible comes out of the King James Version as well as Dr. Sorensen's.
Mm-hmm.
But his answer was to the fact that, really, there's not too much research, but he was a family man. Peter was married.
Right, right. Because remember, one of Jesus'
first pope, according to the Roman Catholic.
Yeah. Well, not according to the Bible. Because remember, one of the first miracles Jesus did early on in his ministry was healing Peter's mother-in-law, who was sick of a fever.
Mm-hmm.
You don't usually get a mother-in-law without getting married.
Studying as a priest, and when I come up with all these different questions, how they changed around in the 4th century, I says the church that never changes has really changed so much now, because they didn't have any worship of Mary in any way, shape, or form in the 700 A.D. there.
Right.
And they didn't have confession, and the priest could marry and everything up to about 1000 A.D.
Yeah, and in fact, I was just talking with somebody at the nursing home service this afternoon about a couple of these things. Hey, Ken, got just about a minute or two left
before
the break.
Well, thanks for taking my call and help straighten that up, but we'll never know for sure.
Yeah.
Like Pastor Dr. Sorensen said, that we get to heaven.
Yeah.
For sure.
And that is interesting.
And tell Ken I said hello and everything. Hope everything is well with you, folks.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Ken. Appreciate the call tonight. And, you know, I, I heard a long time ago, I remember I was asking this one guy about the meaning of a passage. I was over in England. I was stationed there in the Air Force, and it's where I actually rededicated my life to the Lord and was called into the ministry, and which is the whole reason I left the Air Force. And I was getting involved in this missions work off base, and the missionary that was there, he gave me some things to read, and I was trying to read and grow as a Christian, and I learned a lot, had a lot of questions, and I came up with one. I couldn't get an answer to it that I could figure out at the time, and I told him, I said, you know, I read a couple of commentaries that I had, and some that he had loaned to me, and I said, as I was going through these commentaries, the commentator, he didn't answer it either. He just kind of skipped over it, and he kind of chuckled, and he said, you know what? A lot of times, they didn't understand it either. They didn't know what was going on, so they just ignored it in their commentary, and you'll find that on occasion. But I think the general consensus, though, as Ken called about Mark here in 1 Peter, chapter 5, verse 13 there, is likely John Mark that we see where Peter, when he was released, God sprung him from Herod's jail there and spared his life as a result. Quite likely that was the same individual there, John Mark, and whose house that they were meeting in for a prayer meeting. And that's a whole interesting thing in and of itself, the prayer meeting. When Peter arrives at the gate and they say, oh, it can't be Peter. We're busy praying for him to be released. It must be his ghost. Hey, stay tuned. We got another half hour. Thanks for listening and stay tuned. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Why? Well, because the Bible says, there is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight. Hope you'll stay tuned. And if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a call toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'd love to hear from you this evening. Also, just a reminder that we're brought to you, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, where I'm the pastor. If you're ever around in northeastern Ohio, we'd love to meet you. And that information will be given at the end of the program. But you can find out more about us and our church and the radio program, as well as listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Realize I didn't mention that during the last half hour. I should have, huh? But livewithpastoral.com is our website, and you can find out more about me, more about our church, more about the program, and you can also link to our Facebook page. And I try to link on Facebook some articles and different things on a variety of subjects, and you can do that at livewithpastoral.com. Also brought to you today by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, Ohio. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizzas, located at 4889 Turney Road, right across the street from the Garfield Heights High School. And you can call them for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. And if you mention Live with Pastor Al, you get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. And if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, I realize if you live in North Carolina, it's kind of a long way to send out for pizza. But if you're interested in getting into the pizza business yourself, you need a good recipe for pizza, for the dough, for the sauce, that's what you need. Well, call East Coast Pizza at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100 and ask for Gus. He can help you get started in your own pizza business for a whole lot less than what you might think possible. And it's amazing how many times somebody tries one of their pizzas for the first time and they say, wow, this is great. And I have to pick on a good friend of mine, Pastor Lutz. He's out at North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, Ohio. He had one of East Coast Pizza's last week for the first time, and he said, that's the best pizza I ever had. Then he stopped and he said, no, it's the second best pizza I ever had. The best pizza I ever had was when I was out in Hollywood, California one time and had one out there. So Pastor Lutz, if he's listening, or somebody from his church, you could pass on that I recommended shared his recommendation there. But anyway, back to the program here. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can call us toll-free, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we have John calling in with us here tonight. And John, welcome to the program tonight.
Yeah. Hello, Pastor Al.
Hey, good evening.
Yeah.
Good evening.
Yeah, praise the Lord. I'm sure you've talked a lot about this, the same-sex marriage thing, which, of course, is not legitimate, and it's
right.
A terrible thing. And there is an opportunity which some people are making known to us, like Janet Porter and some others, that now if we could get enough people to call these attorney generals of a few different states, including
right.
Ohio, Mike DeWine. There's some numbers that are given, and if we could call them, they could perhaps put some pressure on one of these judges, and they can actually have a motion for rehearing the marriage case. Just like one more day, it could be done.
Right. I believe that there's a possibility they're thinking that before the time runs out, if they could get to where they could show that, I believe it's Justice Kagan and Justice Ginsburg should not have been allowed to rule in that case due to conflict of interest.
That's true as well, but it's not even.
Well, you're talking about a different thing as well. So.
Well, yeah, that's definitely true. They should have been recused from it because they've obviously have a conflict of interest, as two of them have performed these you know, you call them what you want. I mean, they're not old. They're not.
And Justice Ginsburg, I guess, just did earlier this year, and during the course of the ceremony, she said something along the lines of, by the power invested in me, and she named the United States Constitution of all things. What a travesty.
Yes, yes. So clearly there's a conflict of interest there, but no, this is even a different way of going about this, because the attorney generals of the four states that are mentioned here, Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Michigan,
right,
they have standing to bring this case and to have a motion filed to rehear the case.
Right, and those were the state's attorney generals that were involved in this recent court case, aren't they? I know Ohio was.
Yeah, oh yes.
Yeah, I believe
definitely,
so.
Yeah. Well, all these states had supported, true marriage, which is, of course, we know from scriptures, between a man and a woman.
Right.
You know, God made the male and female, created man and woman, the one flesh, and there's no other description of marriage in scripture. So
absolutely,
I mean, obviously this can't be right.
Yeah. Do you have a number? You're saying something about a phone number or something?
There's four numbers here, and anyone from any state, like, I mean, being from Ohio, I can still call Michigan, Kentucky,
right,
Tennessee.
Well, and somebody from Florida, for instance, who could certainly call.
Yeah,
Kentucky,
someone from
or
Florida
Tennessee
can
or
call all four of these.
Michigan,
definitely.
Ohio. Yeah.
And we, like, really praying that people will do that too, and also making this a matter of prayer that the Lord would just touch the hearts of these.
Right. And certainly our listeners, especially those that go online, can certainly, you know, find the websites and the phone numbers and all contact information for the state's attorney generals in Ohio, Kentucky, Michigan, and Tennessee.
Right. Now, if you want, I have the numbers here. I could read them off.
We can read them off, but, most people are going to miss them. The biggest thing today, really, or maybe we just let people look them up, because you can find them pretty easy. I mean, if worse comes to worse, somebody can say, I want to do this, and they can certainly call the information on the telephone if they don't have online. So those are pretty easy.
Right, it's just a question of, it wouldn't take but a couple minutes to read the numbers. Some people probably are getting a pencil right now.
Yeah,
and ready,
that's
ready
kind
to
of delaying a little bit there, so somebody could do that. But, yeah, why don't you go ahead? I mean, the phones are kind of quiet right at the moment. We got a few minutes. You can do that.
All right, well, just quickly then, there's four attorney generals to call. The Michigan attorney general, the number is 517-373-1110, and that's Michigan. And then the Kentucky attorney general number is 502-696-5300. The Tennessee Attorney General's number is 615-741-3491. And finally, Ohio is 800-282-0515. So hopefully somebody's writing down a few of those, you know.
Right.
And they can, like you say, they can go on, probably find out that information pretty easily on a computer.
Yeah. And,
it's just state attorney generals for Michigan, Tennessee, Kentucky, and Ohio. And anyone can call from any state, and so you don't have to live in Michigan or have to live in Ohio, or you can. And it's just something that if enough people would call and just show these attorney generals that this matters to us,
right?
Just,
there's a concern across the country.
If people are apathetic about it, just say, "Well, we can't do anything."
And let me point something out there, tying in what you just said about people being apathetic. Some of our state's attorneys generals are really taking the lead on this, and some of our state governors. Unfortunately, living here in Ohio, as I do as well, we have a Governor John Kasich, who wants to run for president. And, the first thing he said about this ruling was, well, the Supreme Court ruled it's the law of the land. We just got to live with it. Time to move on. There's more important things to talk about. Thankfully, Ohio's attorney general didn't listen to the governor. And we don't need to listen to the governor of Ohio either. We can get involved. This is a slippery slope. They're already filing cases dealing with polygamy and incest and other things using the basis of this ruling as their justification. And John, want to thank you for that. I got another caller calling in already now.
Thank you, Pastor Al.
Thank you for that. And let me encourage you, if you're listening, doesn't matter where you're at. You can be in New Jersey. We've had callers from New Jersey in the past. You can contact the State Attorney General's office in Michigan, Kentucky, Tennessee, or Ohio, and voice your support for them trying to overturn this travesty of a court decision. But thanks for that, John. Appreciate that. All right. Well, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we have, I'm trying to read my board over here. It looks like Shana, I think it is. Shana, are you there with us?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, good evening. Did I get your name right?
Yes.
Okay, I was looking, and see, I have these progressive lenses, and if I don't look just right, I can't get anything in focus. So that's kind of looking at an angle, and I can make out the beginning of it, but not the rest. So welcome to the program tonight.
Thank you.
It's over.
My question has to do with, I think it's in the genealogy section for Genesis chapter 5. And I think it would cover verses 1 through, let's see, 3.
Okay.
Where it talks about the genealogy of Adam.
Yes.
And it says that God created man in the likeness of God, made he him.
Right. And then the next verse, male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day that they when they were created.
Right. My question has to do with verse 3, where it says that this is when it says Adam lived 130 years and begot a son in his own likeness, after his image.
Right. Called his name Seth.
What does that, what would be the significance of, at this point, Adam having a son in his own likeness and after his image?
That's actually a very good question. If you think about it, it emphasizes really the humanity and the human nature that was passed down from Adam to his son Seth. Because when you read about the creation of Adam back in Genesis chapter 2, God said that he created man in his image.
Right.
Actually chapter 1, the particulars of how Adam was created and then how Eve was created in chapter 2. But here we are in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. And we were originally created, Adam and Eve were originally created with no sin nature. They were perfectly holy, and that's the nature of God. But see, when sin entered into the world, the Bible says sin entered into the world and death by sin. And it's by one man's sin that death entered into the world. When Adam sinned, the whole of the human race was plunged into a lost condition. And the sin nature is passed from father to child. And I know a lot of times fathers might like to blame the wrongdoings of their children on the mother, but that's not the case. The sin nature comes from the father. And it's passed down from father to child since Adam. And when you look at Seth being born in chapter 5 there, in the image of Adam, and in his likeness,
right,
he carried that sin nature that his father did. Seth was a man that was born with a sin nature, just like you and I were both born with a sin nature, and everyone that's listening was born with a sin nature because we're in the likeness of our earthly forefather, Adam.
Okay.
And we carry his likeness. Now, that was not mentioned when Seth's two older brothers, Cain and Abel, were mentioned.
Right.
With Cain at chapter 4, verse 1, says, "And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain and said, I've gotten a man from the Lord." She was excited. I think Eve probably thought that she gave birth to the Redeemer that was prophesied. Remember the seed of the woman that would strike the seed of the serpent?
Right.
In chapter 3. And so she was excited about that. And then in chapter 4, verse 2, it says, and again, she again bare his brother Abel, and Abel's a keeper of sheep, and Cain's a tiller of the ground. And nothing's mentioned about this likeness business, but by the time we get down to chapter 5, Seth, who in many ways was a replacement for Abel after Cain killed him, it's emphasized that that children that are born have the sin nature, the likeness, the human nature of their human father. We're in the image in that sense. So hopefully that helps clear that up a little bit.
Yes, it did. Thank you so much.
Oh, that's good. I think that's the first time I've been asked about that particular statement. And it is good. These things are here for a reason. And,
thank you.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate the question tonight.
Okay, bye.
All right, have a great evening. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And you can give us a call. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And I wanted to go over here while the phones are quiet for a moment here. But if you got a call, we'd certainly love to take your telephone call at toll-free 888-677-9673. But I want to go over to Hebrews chapter 6 and touch on something. Hebrews chapter 6. I this comes up periodically, and somebody asked me about it this past week, and I just thought I'd touch on it a little bit here this evening as well while we have time. In Hebrews chapter 6, there's a passage of Scripture here that is very much misinterpreted by many people. And at the outset, let me explain. I am not a Calvinist, okay? And I'm not an Arminian. And now a lot of people are probably saying, well, I've never heard of either one of them. I don't know what you're talking about. Let me just give it to you in a nutshell. The Calvinists believe God created certain people to get saved and populate heaven, and certain people to not get saved and populate hell. And if you're created to populate heaven, you're going to get saved whether you want to or not. If you're if you're created to populate hell, you're not going to get saved whether you want to or not, and you're going to populate hell. And that's all there is to it. That's a very, 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 very oversimplification of the position, but it was designed by a young lawyer in his 20s who was trained as a Roman Catholic lawyer during the time of the Reformation. And he was trying, as an unsaved person initially, to understand spiritual things that a natural man, the Bible says, cannot understand. And so he's trying to figure out a way to understand them. And he came up with a system which bears his name, Calvinism. And then, of course, the opposite of that, most people believe, is Arminianism, which where Calvinism says you have no choice in the matter, Arminianism says you have every choice in the matter, and you can choose whether or not to be saved. You trust Christ as your Savior by a matter of choice. So far, so good. But they also say you can lose your salvation. And so most people think I'm somewhere in between the Arminian position and the Calvinist position. Not so. You don't have to be. There's a third position. It's not a flat line where you are somewhere toward the Calvinist or toward the Arminian position. It's a triangle, the biblical position at the top, where you have the principle of free will, where you can choose to be saved. And as you depart from that down to the Calvinist position, you lose the free will, and you can only be saved if God allows you to and wants you to. And they ignore the clear teaching that God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. They reinterpret that. And then, of course, the Arminians, if you go down in their direction, you start believing that you can lose your salvation. They come up with various ways. One of the passages that they use, and I got just a couple of minutes here, is Hebrews chapter 6, which I believe Paul is the human author here, but he's going to give them, if you look at the end of chapter 5, some strong meat as an example of things hard to understand that they should be trying to be able to figure out. They should be mature enough as Christians to figure out. And the Arminian position on this, they say this is proof you can lose your salvation. Let me read it real quick. touch on it here in just a couple of minutes that I have. He says, starting in verse 4, Hebrews 6, verse 4, "For it is impossible for those who are once enlightened, have tasted the heavenly gift, and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost, and have tasted of the good word of God and the powers of the world to come, that they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify themselves to themselves the Son of God afresh, and put him to an open shame." And they say, see, this means that people who are saved can lose their salvation. They can lose their salvation. But that's not what it says. It says those who are once enlightened. You cannot be saved unless God opens your eyes. You have to be enlightened for that to take place. It's not like the Calvinists teach. The Calvinists teach that you're dead in your sin and God literally saves you. Now you're alive in Christ and you can trust Christ as your Savior. They put the cart before the horse. What happens is God, through His Spirit, opens your eyes so that you know the truth of salvation and you can trust Christ as your Savior. So you have been enlightened. You have tasted of the heavenly gift, but it doesn't mean that you are saved. You've been a partaker of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost has ministered to you. You've experienced His ministry in your life. Your eyes have been opened. You see the truth of the gospel, and now it's your choice. Do I trust Christ as my Savior or not? If you fall away, in other words, you reject Him, you can't be saved if you're rejecting the only thing that can get you saved. Compare the last part of Hebrews chapter 10. I don't have time to turn there. And you can read a passage that goes along with this. And what happens is an unsaved person, their eyes are opened. They see the truth of the gospel. They're enlightened. They tasted. They know that the gospel is true. They've become a partaker of the Holy Ghost in that He's ministered this enlightenment to them. But they're not saved yet, and they reject Him. Well, if they do that, they can't get saved. Now, the Arminians try to use this as a proof text that you can lose your salvation. But you know what? They always stop there, and they forget to tell you verse 6. If they shall fall away, it says it's impossible, if they fall away, to renew them again unto repentance. The Arminians teach that through gross sin or through decision to reject Christ, that you can lose your salvation. If they're going to make Hebrews chapter 6 mean that you can lose your salvation, they cannot reject the inescapable conclusion that if that's true, and I don't believe it is, but if it were true, if that were the true interpretation of this passage, if you lost your salvation one time, that would be it. Now, let me ask you this. How many sins does it take you to lose your salvation if you believe you can lose your salvation? Let's put it this way. How many sins does it take to make you less than perfectly holy? It only takes one. How many people do you have to kill to be a murderer? Just one. How many lies do you have to tell to be a liar? Just one. How many things do you have to steal to be a thief? Just one. So how many sins do you have to commit to be a sinner? Just one. The Arminians believe that God's law is like a rope, and you have to saw through enough strands of it before it breaks. No, God's law is like a chain. It only takes one link to break. One sin will keep you from heaven. Don't let the Arminians or the Calvinists mess you up on that. Take the biblical position. Choose to trust Christ as your Savior, and then be assured that God will keep you until the day of salvation. He gave you eternal life. Eternal life means eternal. It's everlasting, means it won't end. Jesus in John chapter 10 said you'll never perish. So trust Christ. Believe Him. Believe His word. Put your faith in Christ as your Savior, and then live for Him. It's not a license to sin. We're to grow in grace, and we're to serve Him. God bless. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. God bless.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also like us on Facebook or listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. and every Friday night at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing to Pastor Al Davis at P.O. Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Tune in every week for Late Night Live with Pastor Al, Sunday nights at 11 o'clock on this station. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.